So I want to ask you, my topic says, do you know him or do you know about him? Do you know him or do you know about him? It's a question you need to answer, praise the Lord, as you move forward into 2018. And going forward, this is a question you need to answer. Amen? So we're going to read from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. Philippians 3, 7 to 10. Okay. So I will be reading from praise the Lord. I hope my thing works. Praise the Lord. Please bear with me. Philippians 3, verses 7 to 10. I will be using the Amplified C. So I want us to actually read it together. Amen? And I want you to read it thoughtfully. Thoughtfully. So that God will minister to you as you read this. Amen? Some of us have not read the Bible today. Let this be your Bible time. Amen? So let's go. But whatever former things I had that might have been gains to me, I have come to consider as one combined loss for Christ's sake. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. For his sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may gain Christ, the anointed one, and that I may actually be found and known as in him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own, based on my obedience to the law's demands, ritualistic uprightness, and supposed right standing with God, thus acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the anointed one, the truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may, in that same way, come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death in the hope. Praise the Lord. I hope you were blessed. Amen. Praise God. So that's why I said my topic is, do you really know him? Or do you know about him? The most important thing in life is to know Christ. At least from where we've read now. When you look at it from NLT translation, why I said the most important thing in life is to know Christ. It's from looking at it from NLT, verse 7. He says, I once thought these things. Paul went on to enumerate all his accomplishments in life. And after the enumeration, Paul says in verse 7, NLT, he says, I once thought these things were valuable. All those achievements, all his accomplishments. He said, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Then verse 8, he says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen. Indeed. When you think about this, judging from what Paul has said, you know that knowledge of God is the most important thing in life. Praise the Lord. So Paul, after doing all he did, he began to prioritize his goal. And that's what we should be doing. You and I must also prioritize our goals come 2018 and going forward. We should be able to truly see that everything else, whatever it is we've been pursuing, whatever accomplishments we already had, whatever we intend to pursue come 2018, all of them, Paul said, put together, they will not compare to the infinite knowledge of Christ. Praise the Lord. I want this to be our goal, knowing Christ, come 2018. I want us to prioritize our goal and begin to see what Paul saw. He says, my determined purpose. Paul made a firm decision and was resolved not to change it. He was determined. Are you determined to know him, to know Christ, come 2018? Have you weighed and balanced all that happened the years back? And then I was asking my husband, I said, what is your goal for 2018? I'm asking you, what is your goal for 2018? Paul resolved. He made this firm decision. You should also make that firm decision to know Christ. Amen. He says that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Progressively. Paul wants to progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. I'm looking at that word, progressively. It's not a one time. It's not automatic. Because the knowledge he's talking about is not intellectual knowledge. We'll get to that. He's not talking about intellectual knowledge. In fact, he says it is knowing him deeply, more intimately, acquainted with him. So he says it is not an intellectual knowledge. Praise the Lord. It's a kind of intimate knowledge of Christ. He wants to progressively. So if you're determined to know him, don't get discouraged. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not automatic. It's going to be what? Steadily. In stages. It comes in stages. You get here today. Tomorrow you're here. The next time. You keep going on. Praise the Lord. When you leave here today, I want you to begin to fellowship with the Word of God and have one thing in mind, that this 2018, you will know Christ for yourself. You will practically know him. You will experientially know Christ. Truly know him intimately. Praise the Lord. Paul wants to know the power that raised him to life. He wants to suffer and die. And so, what is your own determined purpose? Every morning, every day you wake up, what is your purpose? Can you say with Paul, my determined purpose is to know him. Praise the Lord. You need to have a goal. You know, that's an English adage that says, if you don't have a goal, you are in serious. If you don't have a goal, it says if you aren't aiming at anything, I don't want to use the American language. It says if you ain't aiming at nothing. No, it says. Let me use the English version, the British version. It says if you don't aim at anything, you're bound to hit it every time. You hit nothing. But if you aim, this is your goal. then you walk towards that goal. Amen. I want us to read again 2 Peter. 2 Peter. It's going to be a long one, so I'll just do the reading. Amen. I'll read from Amplified. See, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle, special messenger of Jesus Christ, to those who have perceived, who have received, obtained an equal privilege of like precious faith with ourselves in and through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For his divine power has bestowed on us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full, personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence, virtue. By means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of divine nature. For this very reason, adding your diligence to divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellent resolution, Christian energy, and in exercising virtue, develop knowledge, intelligence, and in exercising knowledge, develop self-control, and in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance, and in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness, piety, and in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection, and in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Amen. So when you go to verse 2, it says in verse 2, where we just read, it says, may grace and peace, may grace, God's favor and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity and freedom from fears, agitating passions, be multiplied to you. Be multiplied to you. I'm talking to you. Amen? So as we pass through challenges, come 2018, you know what? God is saying something to you. Whatever that challenge may be, whatever that storm may come your way, whether it is financial storm or marital problems, children, job, health, whatever it is, you know what God is saying to you today? You know, God knows mathematics. He didn't say be added to you. He says be multiplied, multiplication. If you're working on a level of 10, it becomes what? 100. Working on 100, it becomes 1,000. And so on. Multiplication. He said, so shall it be with you. Amen. How? He says, through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So this does not mean a general knowledge, like I said before. It does not mean just knowing the existence of God or the word of God. You just know it anyhow. That's important. It is not intellectual. Our text says it is through the full personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. Through the precise and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Through this true intimate knowledge of God. Knowing him intimately, personally, practically for yourself. Praise the Lord. If I'm to paraphrase this. So if there's no intimate knowledge of God, if you don't have that intimate knowledge, it means there'll be no multiplication of grace and peace. It means there'll be no multiplication of perfect well-being. No multiplication of all necessary good. No multiplication of all spiritual prosperity. No multiplication of freedom from fears. Whether fear of death, poverty, sickness, disease, whatever it is. Freedom from agitating passions and moral conflicts will not be multiplied. So what does that tell you about 2018? If I want all this to be multiplied, grace and peace, well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual, if I want it, what do I do 2018? Grow in knowledge of Christ. Praise the Lord.
Are you going to do it? Will you do it? Don't you want all these blessings? Perfect well-being to you. When you're passing through storms, you have a perfect well-being multiplied to you. You have all necessary good multiplied to you. You have all spiritual prosperity. When you think about this thing, you know one thing is clear. For me, 2018, I'm getting it. Amen. Are you getting it? Praise the Lord. We must prioritize our life. Resolve to grow in our knowledge of God and Christ. Put away every weight that hitherto has been holding us down. I know mine. I don't know about you. Is it your job? Just declare, resolve, my knowledge of Christ comes first. Marital responsibilities, family issues, children, academics, whatever is holding, what has been holding you down, those social groups, the movies you watch, the games you play, sitting before the television watching news, you know, whatever comes, 7 a.m., they have this same news, so-and-so happened. 8 o'clock, the next person comes, so-and-so happened. 9 o'clock, it's the same news, but different people will just give you the same news. And some of us just sit there the whole day, listening to the same thing coming from different people. Praise the Lord. But it's not going to be so next year. Amen. We must get to know God intimately going forward. The year 2018 must be a year of manifestation of the multiplication of grace and perfect and God's peace in our lives. But why did God say it is through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ? When you go to verse 3, he begins to answer. He says, for his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything that pertains to life and godliness. That's how King James said it. He says, everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through a true personal knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. If we're going to appropriate or experience this already provided blessings, it's going to be through a full knowledge of him. Having that intimate knowledge of him. God has already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He says everything. And everything means everything. But you've got to know him practically to see those things happen in your life. Amen. Ephesians said he has blessed us with all spiritual blessing. God has given us everything that we need before ever we need them. Amen. He has provided them. It is through the knowledge of him. You see why he knows? That is like your child. You have something awesome for your child. And you want your child to get that thing. What do? You say you have to go this way and that way. Then you get it. And you're watching your child. Your child is just going through life without those things you've already provided. You said this is the way. Go this way. You get it. Everything you need is there. And the child is walking the other way. That is what is happening. What happens in the life of some people. But God says through the knowledge of him and Jesus Christ, everything you need and you ever need was provided. When a child is born, everything they ever need to make it in life, God has already deposited in them. You know that. They don't need to go and get respiratory system, digestive system, respiratory system, circulatory, no. Or get a nose or get an eye, no. Everything they need to make it in life. When you were born into this Christian fold, into the family of God, he provided everything. He already provided it that you will ever need. Amen. Aren't you happy? But it is through the knowledge of God. Amen. It is very important for us going 2018 to fellowship with the Word of God and begin to grow. Since all things God has provided is through the knowledge of God. The key to obtaining everything we need is what? The knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? The question is, do you even believe that he has already given us all things that we need? Do you believe it? Some people don't believe it, you know. I want to tell you, it's a different ball game. This is dispensation of grace. This is the era of grace. That is how we relate with God. He says it, we believe it. It's a done deal. He provided everything. He's not going to provide any tomorrow. It's already a done deal. Unlike in the Old Testament era, where it is by performance. Praise the Lord. How we respond today is different in this dispensation of grace. Amen. You have to get, it's not what you have to do to get something, but rather what you have to believe. He already did the work. He did it all. And all we need to do, the work you need to do is to believe. Amen. It's a grace dispensation. Grace has provided everything. Everything because of his love. Amen. He goes to verse 4. He says, by means of this, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in this world because of covetousness. You're still seeing more and more benefits of knowing him, right? Intimately, knowing him for yourself. Not somebody telling you, you bending down, studying the word of God, listening to him, speak to you, growing to know him, What does he like? What pleases God? What displeases God? What is perfect will and purpose for our lives? It's you getting down to fellowship with him. So much benefits. Look at this. First of all, we saw the grace and peace multiplied to us. We see, you know, we receive everything that pertains to life and godliness. He has already given them, but it's through the knowledge of him. Knowing him allows us to also now, we're seeing, to partake of his divine nature. We are also allowed to receive all his great and precious promises. Do you truly know him the way he's talking about? If you get to know him, the benefits of knowing him, they're overwhelming. Amen? They're overwhelming. You receive all his great and precious promises. You escape the corruption of this world. Praise the Lord. Will you do something going forward? Get to know your Lord. Get to know God. Get to know him intimately. More than you know anybody, your spouse, your child. Get to know him. And as you know him, it even improves your relationship with others. Praise the Lord. Because you know what he you know, you get to know what God wants concerning your wife, how you treat them, how you treat your husband, your children, what displeases God, what pleases God, what he says to do. Like my daughter, my sister was sharing this morning, God told me. Does God tell you? Does he tell you? Do you even bring out time to listen, to hear? Praise the Lord. He says, my sheep hears my voice and they follow me. We hear, but do we even take time to listen properly? Amen? Like hearing. He's speaking, are you hearing? Praise the Lord. But he says, to achieve all these things, all these blessings, he says, there are certain things, this growth, you know, from one stage to another. God doesn't do something, you know, things like that. It's from one stage to another. He says, verse 5, for this very reason, adding your diligence to divine promises, employ every effort to exercise faith. You see, all those Christ-like virtues. He says, add to that faith, which is the foundation, you add what? Virtue. To virtue, you add knowledge. To knowledge, he says to add self-control. From self-control, you add patience, endurance. And to that one, you add steadfastness, godliness. And to godliness, you add brotherly affection or kindness. And to brotherly affection, you need to add Christian love. Christian love. You learn to unselfishly seek the best of other sisters and brothers, other believers, of others around you, and to do things for their benefit. Some of us don't even know that. Praise the Lord. But he says, when these things are abounding, when they are increasing in you, all these Christ-like virtues, then what happens? They will keep you from being unproductive, even in your this intimate knowledge of God. They will keep you from being unfruitful. You begin to see fruitfulness in everything you do from this personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you're growing, adding to your faith, you're adding virtue, from virtue, you're adding knowledge, etc. Praise the Lord. They will keep you. But such this kind of, look, when you look at the end of this thing, he says, in the end, he says, for as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge, unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not even about all he's giving you. It's about this, your relationship with him. That is what God is talking about. Your relationship with him. That is what he's talking about. That is the most important thing now. All those things are given, yes. But he's talking about your relationship with him. Praise the Lord. It's not about us, about all those things he has provided. Praise the Lord. How do we begin to add knowledge? I'm looking at the time. Is that the time remaining? Or praise the Lord. Is that the time remaining? Praise God. So how do we add knowledge? Let us read Colossians 2, 1 to 3. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for these believers at Laodicea and for all who like yourselves have never seen me face to face. For my hope is that their hearts may be encouraged as they knit together in unselfish love so that they may have all the riches that come from the full assurance of understanding the joy of salvation resulting in a true and more intimate knowledge of the mystery of God, that is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge regarding the word and purpose of God. Pastor was here this morning. I was a preacher and pastor. I don't want to come up here again. Praise the Lord. But I have to. What can I do? When he was preaching, I told myself, I said, he just emptied everything. Pre-emptied, right? Praise the Lord. So what are we seeing? All knowledge, he says, in him, in both God and Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He said, how do we add knowledge? In Christ, when you have Christ, when you get to know him, he says, in him, in God himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Praise the Lord. So, Christ is the key that opens all the hidden treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is a treasure. It's both in the Father and in the Son. And Jesus is the key that opens it, right? Praise the Lord. All treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. If they're hidden, you need to find them. You need to search for them. If it's a treasure, you need to search. And where do you search? The Word. Amen. The Word of God contains both his wisdom and knowledge. Our knowledge of him comes from the Word, his Word, given to us our edification. We can begin this journey of intimacy with God by fellowshipping with his Word going forward. Because Jesus is the Word made flesh. The Word is Jesus. You cannot separate them. And when you know the Word of God, now you know what? You know God and you know Jesus. So we begin from doing what? Studying the Word of God. That is how you add knowledge. It's from the Word of God. It is from where? The Word. It is from where? The Word. Amen. Let's look at Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17. It says, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration and profitable for instruction. You need instruction. It is there. For reproof, you go there. Conviction of sin, you go there. Correction of error. Discipline, obedience. Training in righteousness, like Paul was saying, in holy living, conformity to God's will, in thought, in purpose and action. It is the Word of God. Why? So that the man of God, so that you and I may be complete. So that you and I may be proficient. So that you and I will be well fitted. So that you and I will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Praise the Lord. It is only the Word of God that can equip you like this and prepare you for every good work. The Word of God. The Word of God. You have to add knowledge. You have to add knowledge to virtue. You have to add virtue to faith. Knowledge, knowing God intimately. That's what we're talking about. Amen. How to add knowledge. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial. King James said, approved unto God, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth, approved unto God. That should be your, you should study, you should be eager and do your utmost to present yourself. Present yourself. So you're studying for yourself. Study for yourself. Sunday school, we said, come here. You listen, you hear. That's how you get it. Come to Bible study so you can learn. Go to men's meeting, women's meeting. We share the word there. Life Center, which everywhere in this church is a good avenue to grow in your knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. But when you get home, you don't end it here. He says here, you want to study for yourself. How many of us study for ourselves? Take time. Take some people, the pastor is preaching, they're not even taking notes. And I'm wondering, their brain must be so magnet. And they don't forget. But when you go home, you pull down whatever, you begin to go through it. You get your Bible, you begin to learn. That's when you're studying for yourself. The Berean Christian, you're studying. You're knowing the truth. You're getting to know God more and more. Knowing him for yourself, a personal knowledge of God. Intimate knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. You study to show yourself approved unto him, unto God. You're living before an audience of one. Study to show yourself approved unto him. Praise the Lord. It's a way to add knowledge, to grow in your knowledge. Praise the Lord. We've seen how important knowledge is. In Philippians 3:7, where we just read, Paul said, everything else is worthless. Whatever accomplishments we had, whatever we intend to do, add everything we want, get everything. Paul said, in comparison with the infinite value of knowing Christ, he said it is just rubbish. You cannot compare. Praise the Lord. So make 2018 about knowing him intimately. Praise the Lord. I want to know and then I experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. See, that is progressive thing. He didn't just get from, you know, he just said from the beginning, he said, I want to get to understand this man. I want to understand him. I want to know what makes him tick. I want to be found in him. I want to everything. At the end, he says, I also want to know this power that raised him from the dead. I want to experience it. How can you experience what you don't know? It starts from having that intimate knowledge, like Pastor was sharing this morning. You get to know God. You hear him. You understand. You do. And then you begin to experience. You commune with God. You're walking with God. You begin to experience that power that raised him from the dead, that raised him to life. The raising from the dead power. You know what it says? It is on the inside of you. It's in us, that power. The spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead is in you. And he that raised Christ from the dead will quicken our mortal body by that spirit that is in us. That spirit is there. The power that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of you. Paul said you have to know him intimately. And then you begin to experience this power. Praise the Lord. But you have to know him intimately to experience this power. Amen. When you begin to have this truly intimate knowledge of him, by progressively, see how Paul described this knowledge, this knowing. He says, progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of Jesus Christ. You perceive the wonders of this Jesus. You understand, you recognize the wonders of Jesus Christ. And as you get stronger and stronger, it becomes more clearer to you as you continue to do what? Perceive, to study, to grow, to be intimate. It becomes clearer to you. Then you begin to experience this resurrection power that we're talking about. Amen. That's how important it is. That, like Paul said, we need to come to the place where progressively, every day we're studying, getting more intimate, deeply, more intimately acquainted with him. We begin to perceive the person of Jesus. We begin to recognize this person of Jesus Christ. As we begin to do that more strongly and more clearly, then we begin to experience that power. Every deadness becomes life. Praise the Lord. Jesus also has something to say about knowing, the importance of knowing him. John 8:31-32. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in me, who had believed him, us, right? Like we that have believed him. Jesus is saying to us today, if you abide in my word, continually obeying my teachings and living in accordance with them. That is knowing him, isn't it? If you abide in that word, you live in that word. If the word says jump, you jump. If the word says sit, you sit. The word of God. He says, if you abide in my word and continually obeying my teachings and living in accordance with them, then you are truly my disciples. So because you're a believer doesn't make you a disciple. It's when you abide in that word, continually obeying, praise the Lord. He says, and then that knowing comes, then you will know the truth. That truth regarding whatever situation you're passing through, what God has said about it, then you know the truth. And what happens? That truth sets you free. Amen. I was praying for my son. I said, God, open his eyes. He will know the truth. When it comes to know that truth intimately, he will be set free. That's all I pray for him. That's all I pray for my son, if I need to. That he will know that truth. Praise the Lord. Whatever is still holding you bondage, get to know the truth intimately. Go and know the truth concerning that situation. If it's poverty, sickness, lack, whatever it is, know the truth. What does God say about it? When you get to know it like that, oh my God. Because part of that knowing is doing, is obeying. That was a continually obeying. He says, when you know this truth will do what? Set you free. So as you live here going forward into 2018, nothing should hold you down. You will know this truth, and that truth will set you free. The truth you know regarding salvation. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Luke 1, 76 to 77. It says, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. What I'm saying is, do you know why Jesus? It's one of the primary reasons. For here it is the primary reasons why Jesus came, why God sent him. To bring knowledge of salvation to you. Praise the Lord. Mother said, I've never seen it like that. I said, yes. To bring knowledge of salvation, knowledge, so you will know him. Know what Jesus did. Know what he went to the cross. He says, concerning salvation, by remission of their sin. Our sins are forgiven. He's gone to that cross. He nailed this thing, the power of sin on the cross. Sin has no power over you. He broke it. He destroyed, broke the power of sin off of our lives. He cannot control us again. He says, and then there's a translation I like. He says, tell his people. I'm trying to find out, tell his people. Okay. Okay, you make his people understand that they will be saved by having their sins forgiven. By having their sins forgiven. Whereas King James says it is, you know, Jesus came, he called, you know, to give knowledge of salvation. Praise the Lord. Salvation includes it includes a lot of things. Prosperity. What did Jesus do about prosperity? What did Jesus do about your health? What has Jesus done about protection? All that Jesus went to the cross to do, God sent his son. So you have a knowledge of it. How can you benefit from what you don't even know? You can't. If you want to benefit from the finished work of the cross, he's saying, what do you do? You have to know what he has done on that cross, what he has provided on that cross, what he has given to you freely by going to that cross. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible, we know that John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life, right? Eternal life. I'm fast. My time is going, right? So whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life, right? That's why Jesus, that is salvation, right? Okay. Again, from here, this verse says that the goal of salvation is eternal life. And what is eternal life? Jesus tells us that eternal life is what? That you might know thee. This is eternal life. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who thou hast sent. To know God and know Jesus intimately, that is eternal life. Praise the Lord. It's a sad thing that somebody has been saved. So the goal of this salvation is for you to know Jesus and to know God intimately. from what I'm saying here, that's the goal of your salvation. To know him intimately, that is eternal life. And we all receive eternal life. But then we're not even gaining, benefiting from that eternal life by getting close, by knowing of knowing him intimately, the way we're talking about. Eternal life begins right here. You begin to enjoy everything he has provided for you. Like Pastor, you see victory in everything. In health, you see what he has done. Healing, you're experiencing it. Prosperity, you experience. Everything that has gone to the cross to provide, you begin to experience manifestation of it in your life. That is eternal life. And you begin to enjoy it. It's right here. So if we don't know him the way he's telling us to know him, we are the ones losing that intimacy with him and with God. That is eternal life. Praise the Lord. God is love. 1 John 4:7 to 9 says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. The problem is that why we're not, see, if you just know how much God loves us, if we just know, you know, my little bundle of joy, my precious Amanda, she knows I love her. She knows how much, because no matter what, Amanda raises her hand, I will drop everything and pick her up. God knows I'll do that. I'll drop my cooking, I'll pick her up. Whatever my precious bundle of joy wants, I do it if I can help it. I'll never say no. Yesterday she came and raised her hand. I dropped everything. I was already leaving. I dropped everything quickly and I picked her up. And she knows whenever she comes to me, she places her head here. She knows this mama loves her. She has refused to sleep the whole day. But when she raised her hand and I picked her up, my daughter was saying, what is she doing? I said, she knows what she's doing. As soon as I held her with her head there, she went to sleep. Praise the Lord. If only we know that God loves us, not because we're lovely, not because we get it, not because we're perfect, because he is love. God himself is love. He cannot help loving you. He loves you unconditionally, just the way you are. You don't have to be, even when we are yet sinners, he loved us. We can't get worse now. Praise the Lord. God loves you sacrificially. He gave up everything. His son. And he said, what will he not give if he has given you his son? Praise the Lord. God loves you. If you know the love of God, let's look at Ephesians 3, 18 to 19. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. So when you begin to know and understand it, now he says, may you experience. Now you've come to experience that love. Experiencing the love. If he says it is, you know, that beyond human understanding, but when you begin to know how much God loves you, he says that you begin to experience. He says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. When you're able to know God, to know the love of God like this, he says you are filled, you'll be filled with all the fullness of life that comes from God, with all the fullness of power that comes from God. You will be filled with all the fullness of God, but you've got to know how much he loves you. Praise the Lord. Nothing can stop God from loving you. Nothing can cut you off from the love of God. Praise the Lord. No matter how much. He has already dealt with sin, so what else? Praise the Lord. You'll be made complete with all the fullness of life. If you want to be made complete, begin to enjoy the fullness of God, the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You have to know for yourself. Know for yourself, not somebody telling you. You have to get down here and read it and know for yourself. Study and get to know him intimately. You know how much he loves you and you'll be filled. Praise the Lord. Because God has sacrificed so much for us now. God begins to demand. He wants us to do what? To know him. He has not done all these things in vain. His son has gone to the cross to provide everything for your salvation. And then you think it's going to be in vain. God says, no, you must understand this. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. God is saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. But I go down." He says, "All these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently, diligently to your children. Shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontless." He's saying that this word of God, he wants you to understand. It means that this word should be every day. It is the word of God. Meditate. He told that to Joshua. He said, "Meditate. Let this word not depart from your mouth. Speak it. Day and night. Meditate on it." Meditation is very powerful. It's knowledge. Praise the Lord. You get to know God. Know him more from meditation. Praise the Lord. He says, then you'll be successful. You will prosper. You have good success. The same thing. He says, teach them to your children. This word, they have to know God. Praise the Lord. Then it comes to Colossians 1, 9 to 10. He's still telling us, for this very reason, the day we heard about it, we have not stopped praying for you, asking specifically that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled with the knowledge of the will of God. That is what Paul is praying for you here. That you'll be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom, with insight into his purposes, and in understanding of spiritual things, so that, you see that so that again, you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So that you begin to displaying admirable character, moral courage, and personal integrity. When you know him, you begin to walk in a manner that is worthy of him. Praise the Lord. And you begin to display admirable character. People begin to admire this character, moral courage, personal integrity. And then you fully please him in all things. And you begin to bear fruit in every good work, steadily growing and increasing in the knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. He wants you to know him. God wants us. He's pleased when we know him. Praise the Lord. That is, he wants us to know him. But then, if God is pleased by your knowing him, then God will be displeased if we don't know him, isn't it? If you are to paraphrase it. How much do you know? If you don't know God intimately, it doesn't please him. Praise the Lord. He wants you to know him. He says, then it pleases him. You are walking worthy of him. So, Hosea 4, 1 and 6, he says, God says, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. Do you know what the charge is? It says, there is no truth of mercy or knowledge of God in the land. And then he says in verses, my people perish, destroyed for lack of knowledge. Things that you will have the victory over, you will lose it. No victory, whether it is financially, whether it is health, whatever, all that Christ has gone to purchase for us, provided on the cross, free of charge, we're not having victory because we lack knowledge. When you begin to know him intimately, that victory comes in every area of your life. And everything that Christ went to the cross to provide, you get it. So this, don't allow doubt and fear to stop you. Just focus on the word of God. If Christ has provided, grace has provided that thing, whatever it is that grace has provided, only one way, could appropriate it through what? Faith. Praise the Lord. Through faith. First of all, don't let doubt, don't let fear stop you, because you'll be casting your confidence. Hebrews 10:35 says, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what he has promised you. For still a little while, he said, he will come, and the coming one will come. He will not delay. But the just shall live by faith. You must not cast your confidence. That's a great reward, compensation. Praise the Lord. That's what he said in Habakkuk. The vision says for a short appointed time, even though it delays, he says, wait patiently. It will do what? Certainly come. It will not delay. Praise God. So forget the past. I don't know what happened last year, but keep pressing towards that goal. We want to be able to appropriate all that God has gone to the cross, his son has gone to the cross to provide for us. And the only way is through faith. You know, when you look at faith, hearing the word of God, faith is also a way of knowledge, knowing God intimately. I trust him. I believe him. It's conviction. I'm convinced that God will do what he said he will do. If God has everything that God has given us by grace, the only way to appropriate it is by faith. Romans 4:16, faith is the hand that will reach to reach out and take that which God has already provided for you. It says, therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith. Entirely on what? Faith. In order that it might be given as an act of grace or merited favor to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants. Praise the Lord. Whatever God has given to us on that cross is grace. Grace has given it. And we must appropriate it by faith. Hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. Hearing it. Faith comes by hearing. It is part of knowing. Praise the Lord. And we appropriate it. You have to have the knowledge. That knowledge. That intimate knowledge going forward. Amen. So I want to tell us that the year 2018 is going to be an awesome year for us. Amen. What are you expecting? Sometimes the devil will come and scare me. Hey, that person is not well. How about that thing that the doctor said? Then one day we were driving, me and my husband, we were just blowing. You know, that thing came. Suddenly this scripture came to me. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Another translation says to give you hope and a future. That is God's thoughts for you come 2018 and going forward. And you know what? It shall come to pass. Amen. It must be established. The counsel of God for you 2018, it must prosper in the name of Jesus. So what are you thinking? Who are you to think otherwise? You're going to line up your thoughts with that of God. God wants you to do what? Prosper. To give you hope. And that is what you get. Somebody says, what are you looking forward to 2018? I say, oh my God. Awesome future. An expected end. That is what God has for you. And that is how you begin to think and see yourself going forward. Amen. See yourself healthy. See yourself strong. See yourself strong. See yourself prosperous. See yourself as God sees you. Amen. Life of abundance. Life, abundance. That's what Jesus came to give, right? Tell the devil, life, abundance. Abundant life is mine. Come 2018. Amen. So praise the Lord. So getting to an intimate knowledge of God is very important. This is 2018. As you pass through challenges and the storm of life and everything, the grace of God, the peace of God will do what? Overwhelm you. All necessary good will be multiplied to you. Spiritual prosperity will be multiplied to you. You have freedom from fears, agitating passion, whatever they are, more conflicts. You have freedom in Jesus' name. Everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life, life and godliness, you have it and you will experience it in the name of Jesus. God is love. We will get to know the love of God for us and we shall be filled with all the fullness of God in Jesus' name. The power that raised him from the dead, as you begin to know him intimately, like Paul said, progressively going to know him, that power that is in you will be made manifest in every aspect of your life, and so shall it be in Jesus' name. You will know the truth in every area where you've been blinded, and that truth shall set you free. Praise the Lord. Lack of knowledge is not our portion. We shall be filled. We shall be filled with the knowledge of God. We shall know him intimately for ourselves. And everything concerning salvation that he went to that cross to provide for you, through that knowledge, they shall be manifested in our lives. Come 2018 and going forward in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.